This evening I'm going to take a brief scripture reading from the book of John, a scripture we read this morning. I'm going to reread it in our hearing tonight. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. This morning when I referenced this passage, I referenced it as picturing joy in our souls or in our hearts, and I'm going to stick by that, but I have some other thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart that I want to share. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." That's where I'll stop reading tonight. I want to speak for a few moments on this statement that Jesus made, that he would provide rivers of living water. Certainly the Spirit of God does bring joy. But I do want to clarify that the reference to the rivers of water that Jesus made was a reference to him giving the Holy Spirit unto us. And this evening, a couple of things are kind of across my heart about this. One is that we are spiritual beings. And we know that we are. But I just want to reiterate that tonight, that we are primarily spiritual beings. I think much of the world's forgotten this, and that's why everyone's having such a difficult time answering the question about what's wrong. And everybody's asking this question, what's wrong? What's wrong with people? Why is there so much depression and sadness and problems? The other day I was visiting with a counselor, and we've got some counseling programs that we work with, and I always ask all the counselors about their take on why there's so much need for counseling. And it usually brings us to a spiritual discussion, because as we start talking about the inside of people and their thoughts, it generally begins to look into spiritual things. And if we ignore the fact that we're spiritual beings, we might also miss the fact that spiritual neglect is a lot of the problems that we have in the world today. We're spiritual beings. The other thing we are is we're dependent beings. We're needy. We like to push ourselves as being independent and strong. But the fact is if we're honest, we realize that we're very dependent. God made us that way. So if you feel that you don't have it all together or that you can't do things on your own, you were created that way. Amen. We were all created to be dependent upon God. All the world is dependent upon something else. You can go through the circle of life, as it were, and as we learned about in science class about all the different created beings and organisms and how they're all dependent one on the other. And you go through that whole list and you see that everything in all creation is dependent upon something else in creation. And all things are dependent upon God. He's the only independent being. God himself, God Almighty. He needs nothing else. He is never any less than he always has been or any more. He's always perfect. Man. But we are dependent upon him. And I think we have to think about that as we understand what Jesus said when he cried out these words. He said, "If anybody is thirsty, let him come and drink. And I will put into him." He said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Our souls are, and our spiritual being, our entire being is dependent upon God, and we need Him. Or we won't be what we were created to be. If we don't know God, if we don't live with God, if we don't address the spiritual need that we have, then there'll be problems. Things will break down. And it'll be a breakdown of the inside, meaning that all the things on the outside could be what they should be, and yet there'll still be a discontentment, there'll still be dissatisfaction, there'll still be a trouble inside. I told you I had a talk with the counselor, and I said, I was just awed by this phenomenon that I went to Africa to a place where they didn't even have clean drinking water, and some of those people were some of the happiest people that I'd ever met. So if poverty were the problem, they would have all been destitute. Maybe poverty exacerbates a problem on the inside. Now, I saw that to say all that to say that we are spiritual beings dependent upon God, but what we read tonight shows that Jesus offers us what we need. And He offers us what we need in the way that we need it and satisfaction to the full. What we need is the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit is so the river of living water is an analogy. It's a metaphor. It's not that God truly brings us water flowing out of our belly, but it's a picture of what God does spiritually. And what water is to us physically, the Spirit of God is to us spiritually. We are wholly dependent physically upon water. If you ever look at the way civilizations are built up, they always start next to a river and expand out because they need water more than they need anything. Our bodies are primarily water. If you see the region that we live in, as much as our children might say, will it ever stop raining? We know that we need that, and we need it all the time, we're about 2 weeks away from a drought. And if we ever went very long without water, we start getting desperate. So what are we going to do? Could you imagine going 7 years? I can't even fathom it. I don't even know what that would be like. The world would be turned upside down. But God shows us some things physically to show us what our need is spiritually. And just like our bodies, our physical being is dependent upon that water to the point that we would be desperate if we were left without it. Our spiritual being, and you can't separate the two except for thought purposes, but who we are desires and needs God the way that our flesh needs water. Man. And so He references water by saying that is the Spirit of God. I reference joy because to me, this morning when I talked about joy and about how that this is a picture of joy, I believe the Holy Spirit is the author of joy. That what brings us joy is the presence of God in our life. And the Spirit is not necessarily, or it's not a power. The Spirit is not a feeling. The Spirit is God. Now God, His Spirit dwelling in us, evokes feelings. It sometimes manifests in a powerful way. And so I'm not saying that I deny feeling. In fact, I'm very pro-feeling. I don't know how a person could walk with the Lord very long and not know that there's feeling in religion. There's feeling in religion. You feel Him deal with your heart. It's just the reality of walking with God. He walks not only with our mental capacity, but in our hearts and with our passions. And so you feel God when you try to serve God. It's just the way that it is. But the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. And so what Jesus says that we need is the presence of God in our life. And that's what He's referencing here when He talks about the, the rivers of living water that are flowing from within, is that God will come in and make a home in us, that He will dwell in us. And that's the mystery of the gospel. That when we get saved, we don't just understand facts, but we actually have an encounter with the Spirit of God. And then He comes into us, and His Spirit and our spirit come together, and we're fulfilled spiritually. And now we have the presence of God. I would contend that when the Holy Spirit comes in, He comes in to stay. I know that some disagree with that, and they say that, well, you know, we've got separated. You know, it wasn't Him that left, it was me that left, and all these things. I know that we may not feel God the same way when we're disobedient, but I believe that when He comes into us, He comes in to stay. And we can grieve Him, and we can do things that even make us callous to His leadership, but we'll never be separated from Him. Once we're saved, we're different. I mean, people need to be saved because there's so many things that when we get out into the world, we don't have anybody there with us. We can be tempted to stray. But if we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, then we have a witness of God with us everywhere that we go. And He protects us from the errors and the dangers that we might find out there. We need the Spirit of God. So He stands up and He cries out and He said these words. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." And so here He's speaking about people that are needy, and that's all of us. But this spiritual thirst is a lot like physical thirst. How do you know that you're thirsty? Well, you just know that you're thirsty. It's hard to describe that, isn't it? I just need something to drink, and I might have some attributes about that. My mouth might be dry, but really it's just something within you that says, I need water. Amen. That's the same way spiritually when it comes to being spiritually thirsty. I think that people understand that they have a spiritual thirst. Amen. I think, even though I don't believe the whole world is just looking for God and can't find Him, I don't believe that's the way that the world really is. I don't think that everybody's out there searching for God and just can't find Him. Yeah. The Bible tells us that He's revealing Himself to them and they're ignoring Him. However, I do believe that most of the world understands that they have need. And they're filling it with something. Yeah. That's why marketing works so beautifully. Yeah. Because you can create need. People don't even have to have need. You can start creating a need and people will jump on it because they sense inside they're not fulfilled. Man. And so people understand they're thirsty, but they don't understand what they should drink, and they don't really want to drink what God has to offer until God starts working on their heart and they become thirsty for Him. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, which many of them were, He said, come to me. I'm the one that has living water. And that's true today, is that you can go and you can have this thirst and you can go to try to fill it with pleasure, or you could fill it with good deeds, or you could fill it with riotous living, and it will always be unfulfilled thirst, because the thirst of our heart does not get satisfied by all those things that we try to fill it with. There's also no other person that can fill those needs. Oftentimes we do that. We cling to somebody. The reason that I'm so messed up is because I'm single or something like that. And so if I can just find the perfect spouse, then my life will be fulfilled. Well, it just doesn't really work because I found the perfect spouse and I need more than that. Okay, I was joking. She's not perfect, but she's pretty good. Everybody was like, well, yeah, she's about close to that, but I live with her. Pretty good. Really good. Very good. I got to go home tonight. Stop. Thanks, Guy. But there's nobody that can fill what we need in here.
Amen.
Except for Christ. He's the one. And His Spirit's what we need. We need that. And with that, everything else
has fulfillment. But without it, everything is just not quite there. It's always missing. So a few things about what Jesus said. First of all, that the Spirit of God comes by faith. He said, he that believes on me, and not just in any way, not just believing that Jesus is the Messiah or believing that he is the Christ, but as was already referenced in songs and in testimony, we have to come to the cross. To believe in Christ is to believe him for who he is and to trust in him for who he is all the way, not who we choose for him to be. It was unpalatable for the Jews of Jesus' day to put their trust in him because he wasn't mighty. He was a servant. And he was a servant who ended up being crucified. Shameful it was for people to come to him if he was not who he said he was. People were turned off by the gospel. They wanted a mighty warrior and they got a suffering servant. He said, if you trust in me, if you put your trust in me, you'll get the rivers of living water. The gospel is foreign to the sinner's ear. It says, how can that be for me to repent and put my trust in a crucified Savior? But you'll find that at the cross is not only where the water flows, it's where the blood flows, and it's what we need. It's the covering that we need, and it comes by faith. I didn't come in my mind's eye to the cross. That's not exactly what I saw, but spiritually I did come to the cross. Everybody that comes to the Savior comes the way of the cross. There's not salvation in any other besides Jesus crucified and risen again. There's no salvation in any other. I know some have had pictures of coming to Calvary. That's not the way my experience is, but I will tell you that when I came to him humbly, I came to the cross. And that's where I found life. I came to the fact, not just the knowledge of the fact, but it got down in my heart that Jesus died for me. That he gave up his life for me. That his blood was shed for me. That I needed him, that he paid the price that I should have paid. I was guilty, not him. I got there. I felt ashamed before God. But see, whenever I finally laid it down there, I found life. I found life. And he said, if you're thirsty, come to me by faith. I will quench the thirst of your soul, he says. And that's what the river does. The second thing, first of all, you come by faith. Secondly, it quenches your soul. I don't know how exactly, you know, we use words like peace. One of the things that I use to describe how I feel about God is I feel satisfied. Not that I don't continually want more of him, but I feel satisfied in him. I don't feel like I'm needing to go look for something else. I found him. You ever know that it seems like people just change all the time? They go from one thing to the next thing to the third thing. It's kind of wearisome as you get older how people just kind of are so nomadic about what they're going to. And this is the next big thing and that's the next big thing. And then people that you knew 30 years ago that aren't even the same people anymore. Because I believe that people have this innate feeling inside them that they're looking for something and they just can't find it. I want you to know I found it. I found the one my soul longs for, and I don't need to go anywhere else. It's like being on a rock, being settled down, being anchored. Don't have to keep searching. I found him. He quenched my thirst. That's about the best way I can describe when he says that you'll never thirst. And I think, well, I'll have a longing for him. I think the satisfaction is a satisfaction in him. Where you keep going back to the same place. You keep going back to the same well, the same waters. And you want more every day, but you're satisfied with what you get every day. That's what it means by quenching the thirst. The third thing, it flows from within. I know that sometimes we hope for God to bring us peace from without, but oftentimes that's not what we get. We don't get peace from without. We get peace from within. From without, we get trouble. All across the world. Everybody does. This world is filled with trouble. Our troubles are different than some other people's troubles. Even within this room, the troubles that we each have are different, but we all have them. A war without is what we get. A battle without, but peace within. And he said he would put the river from the inside, and it would flow out. And so what God does is when we come to him by faith and we put our trust in him, he takes the presence of God himself and comes in and abides within us inside. Incapable of being tainted by the enemy, by the way. Sealed off. Secured. Perfect. That which God has done in us is perfect. His presence in us is perfect. And he said that will just flow out. He said if a person comes to me by faith, I'll give him that river of living water from the inside. And so it's secured off. And even though we may have a war from without, peace flows from within. This has saved me from a lot of trouble, by the way, is having the presence of God in my heart, because he has a way of reproving us when we get out of the way. We get in the wrong place, the censors come up, the Holy Spirit conviction comes up, and I'm thankful for that, by the way. I'm glad that we have that. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. Well, I'll tell you, I wouldn't be right here. A lot of times temptation comes and the Holy Spirit brings about that conviction from within. Sometimes that's what I need. And sometimes I need comfort, and sometimes I need the feelings of joy and all these different things. But God always satisfies what I need when I need it from within. And that's why we can have peace and contentment when things aren't great without. And don't get me wrong, I like it better when it's good on the outside. But it doesn't always fall my lot. And that's where I draw from that well of the peace from the inside. It flows from within. It doesn't just come from within. It comes abundantly from within. And that's where I get, you know, I think about the river. We're not just talking about a little trickle of water that comes out. He said there'll be a river of living water that flows from within. So it's abundant and it's satisfying and it's enough. I actually read a scripture that talks about the abundance, the river of water flowing from within. And he said, we feast on the fatness of the Lord and the pleasures of the Lord every day is what it was talking about. And how that God abundantly provides what we need. He doesn't just do it a little bit, but he's always good to give us plenty. And more than sometimes what we can even stand. And I love those times, and it's been a while since I've felt that way. But where the joy and the presence of God flows so strongly that I can't contain the joy that I feel inside my heart. I love those times. Yeah. And every once in a while you get a little dose of that. And sometimes you get it in abundance where you can't even keep your composure. And I know we just want to be too dignified for that and say I could never let that happen to me, but I want, you know, I love it. Not when I put it on. I don't like it when if I'm trying to work something up, but whenever the Holy Spirit just manifests himself in such a way that I can't contain it because the joy is just too much, I love that. Amen. Sometimes in prayer when I'm by myself, I feel a little glimpse of that. It's been a little while since it's been so full that my cup just overflows. But it's okay. I don't control that. I'm thankful that what he gives is always plenty, always enough, always abundant. And it's ever new. The joys and the Spirit of God is new every morning. The river flows and it just goes into, and it talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes how the river flows and it goes into the sea, and the sea is never full, and it just continues to cycle, and it's just a never-ending cycle of vanities. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord is new every morning. Yeah. Living for God's not stale if it's a vital relationship. Right. It's fresh. And I think sometimes what becomes stale is the same principles over and over without living in a relationship with Christ. That becomes stale. I just keep repeating the same words over and over. I've got my rote sayings that I say over and over. That becomes really stale. But the Lord's not stale. In fact, it's kind of exciting to live for the Lord. Think about what I read this morning. It was an exciting day, the day that Sarah woke up and fixed these men food. And as she sat there in her tent and listened to what they were saying, and they were talking about her having a child at 90, this is an exciting day. You never know what tomorrow might bring, what God might bring forth. It actually is kind of exciting to live for the Lord because you don't know what His plans are, but you know it'll be good. You know it might be wrought with trial, but He's always got our best interest in mind.
Amen.
And it's good to live for the Lord. It's new every morning. It's a good thing. If you're not living for the Lord, it just feels like it's just this endless cycle of mundane. But when you can grow in the knowledge of the presence of the Lord in your life, there's something new every day. And He just flows out. Flows from within. We just got to be careful not to neglect our spirits. We need to put our souls in a place where it's conducive to that. We need to pray. We need to read God's Word. We need to put ourselves in church. We need to be where we can stimulate the spiritual being. Because if we don't do that, life does get kind of stale. But God's grace is new every morning. And lastly, it's life-giving and life-sustaining. Just like we talked about, civilization gets its life from the river. So the soul gets its life from the Spirit of God. And what continues to give us life new by new every day is the Spirit of God. And I'm thankful tonight for God's Spirit. And we have access to that Spirit. All of us do, the same Spirit. Every Christian does. There are some that teach that it's only, a higher class of Christian that can access the Spirit of God. I don't believe that. I believe that everybody that's truly a Christian is born of the Spirit of God, has an encounter with the Spirit of God, and has the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them, just like He said. And I believe He said, if any man thirst. He didn't just say, some of them, I'll give rivers of living water. He said, if any man thirst, if he'll come to me, I'll give him a drink. To me, that is hope. Because if it didn't say any man, I might say, well, I can reason out why I might not be a candidate. But when it says any man, that means me. That means I can come. And if I want more of God, I just need to go to Him by faith and ask. And He said one time, He said, which of you, if you had a son, and he came to you asking for bread, would you give him a stone? Or which of you, if you had a son and he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? No. He said, you wouldn't do that. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? He will. I believe as a congregation what we need more of is connection with the Spirit of God. Praying that God would work in our midst collectively in such a way that He would reveal Himself to lost people, that He would convict the lost, that He would save the lost. I don't think you can just manufacture that. I think it comes when God's people are thirsty and they go to the well. And they drink from that. And that we are not neglectful of our spiritual man. But that we connect ourselves to God and we go to Him asking and dependent and thirsty. And when we do that, He provides. I long for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I get nervous when I say that because what does that look like? I don't know.
but it's always good. May we pray that He would pour out on us a blessing of His Spirit and allow that that's inside to flow to overflowing. I'm grateful for a God who loved me enough to know me and to allow me to know Him. And it's a blessing to live with the Lord. That's my message tonight. I pray God blesses you. Why don't we stand together and sing and give Him praise. He's worthy of all praise tonight. And if anybody feels leadership of the Spirit, I just pray that you'd follow after that tonight.
Let's do 113 in the Navy book. 113. That's all we need.